Let me begin with a story. There's a congregation in Chicago which was declining in membership steadily for many years. 7 years ago, when they received, they called a new pastor. The first Sunday when he was there, on that Sunday, there were around 14 people in the church worshiping. One of the problems was the congregation sits right in the middle of a very changing neighborhood of mostly African-American people moving in, and this congregation hardly had any African-American members. The pastor quickly realized that this church ought to change. So that's a good thing, isn't it? And he began to reach out to the people who are living around his congregation. And when African-American people began to come to the church, they said, "Pastor, there is a growing number of Asians and Hispanics near our communities also. And we ought to reach out to all these people." This is before the church ever began to talk about church becoming multicultural, right? And so the church made a very intentional effort. In fact, I would venture to say that congregation is one of the few congregations in the ELCA which, even in their own constitution, they state their mission is to become a multicultural church. Today, couple of months ago, after 6-7 years, the congregation went on to have 2 worship services because the church was having an overflowing membership. So, with that good note, and that is the congregation I belong to, so what I'm saying is true. A Zion Lutheran Church in Chicago. And it is a very dynamic ministry this congregation is doing. That is one story I would like to share with you about where the church is heading to. In fact, the congregation has a children's ministry, and at the churchwide assembly, if any of you were as a delegate, you would have heard a whole bunch of children come and sing, "This is not the church we used to know." And that was one of the powerful songs they sang. They also sang the same at the multicultural gathering we had last year. Now, where are we now in the ELCA today? I have been telling these numbers over and over and over again to me. But let me throw that one more time for the last time. Right?
This time. This time, write them on the board.
All right. That's what happens when you have a professor in the room. They want to write everything down.
It's a board for
African Americans, total number of African Americans in the ELCA is 48,868 folks. Asian people is 19,616. Hispanic people, 21,947 people. And Native American people is 5,947 people. Now, here I have to make a qualifying remark here. Hispanics, even though it is 21,947, the number is high, but the church has a problem, the ELCA. Suddenly they decided that they are not going to prepare the parochial report. That's the report the congregations have to prepare in Spanish. It used to be the case in the whole church, and suddenly somebody decided that's not going to be the case. So the congregations, especially the ELCA congregations in Caribbean, that Puerto Rico especially, they said, "We won't send the parochial reports back to you because the language in Puerto Rico is Spanish. The congregation uses Spanish as the only language." And they said, "The church really wants the numbers. You send one in Spanish." So we do not have figures for close to 6,000 people here. So that is, you have to keep that in mind.
Whose decision was that?
Office for Research Planning and Evaluation. I think they will change it next year. We figured out that people are boycotting the report. Now, this is the most current figure we have. This is from the 1989 parochial report. You are the few chosen people in the whole ELCA, if you are an ELCA member, got to have this number in your head. Isn't it wonderful? on this, the African-American membership is up around 1.2% or 607 people. Oh, I made a single here. It's the wrong thing. 607 more people we have in African-American community than what we had in 1988. With the Asian community, we are down 306. And with the Hispanics, we are down 800. But remember the story I told you about Puerto Rico? But if you look at that, then it will be a different story. And Native American is up quite a bit, 529. And the 529, the big number, comes from which state? Alaska. All right. Alaska. That's a good number. Ted will be happy. He's from region one. The Hispanic number, again, that'll be faulty because we do not have the big around 5,000 numbers. So naturally, actually, the Hispanic should be up significantly because the ministry with the Hispanics are one of the most successful and effective ministry the church is doing. So that's, we had to assume. But, and the Asian number is down mainly because the number is down in Minnesota and Iowa, where we have a large number of Asians, but these are, the ministry has not really, has been a stable ministry. That is, most of the folks who came to the church there because of the refugee settlement programs, and but the folks who have been worshiping there really doesn't felt very comfortable in being part of the church. So we have been losing members or receiving members. That has been happening over and over again. So that is one of the reasons the number is down. And the African-American number is up around 607. This compared to ELCA in total losing a big chunk of people. How many people we lost? ELCA lost around 18,000 people we lost last year. So compared to that, there is a significant growth in the ethnic membership. The total African-American, Asian, Hispanic, Native American membership is up around, now today we have around 1.87% of the total ELCA membership is African-American, Asian, Hispanic, and Native American, which is a significantly growing membership. We have total of around 99,987. Now, if you try to total this, it will not come to 99,987. The reason is there are several congregations which said, well, we do have members who are Asians, for example, but we're not sure because the mother is white, father is Chinese, or father is Hispanic and the mother is white. And how do I, where am I going to put them? So there is another category put to, that is called other. And so the other is increasing. So that is why it balances out to 99,987. So I'm hoping next year we will cross the 100,000 mark. Then we can have a big celebration. Now, the ministry in the church is also carried out by African American, Asian, Hispanic, and Native American pastors. Let me share with you those numbers. Then I will not give you any more numbers, believe me. We have in the ELCA a total of 17,246 pastors. That's a lot of them, isn't it? 17,246. Of this, 16,963 are white pastors. Of the 16,963, 1,158 are women pastors. Now, we have 109 African-American pastors, 69 Asian pastors, 89 Hispanic pastors, and 16 Native American pastors. Of this, 19 are women, 6 are women, 9 are women, 2 are women. So this is where we are in the church today. Now today we are going to talk about the glimpse of the future. Now what the reason I wanted to give you this figure also is because I may have to give you one more number, then I will quit. How about that? I know you are all wanting to know how many ELCA congregations say we have African Americans or Hispanics or Asians or Native Americans, right?
Right.
Thank you. Now, we have 2,722 congregations saying, 2,722 congregations, they have African American as members. 3,499 say they have Asian members, and 2,349 say they have Hispanic members, and 1,268, I still could not figure out how that number came, say they have Native American members.
You think it's high?
Yeah. Look at that. The total number, the ELCA Native American membership is 5,947. Of this 1,268 congregations say they have Native Americans as members. There is something wrong with that. And the parochial reports always have been, we have problems with parochial Native Americans. So, for example, one congregation, the congregation said they have 600 Native Americans as members. The pastor unilaterally decided that all my members are Native Americans. We are all born here. You're Native American. So he put the number. And so, yeah. So that is always, we do have a kind of problem here. And but the future of the church, how does it look like, is the strength is right here. Look at the number. You know, close to 2,700 congregations say they have African American members. Or close to 3,400 congregations say they have Asian members. And close to 2,000 congregations say they have Hispanic, and 1,000 say they are Native American. When we are talking about church becoming multicultural, I think the future depends on this number going up. And this number has been steadily growing in numbers. And congregations are beginning to talk and begin to do some intentional work in reaching out to the people from the four ethnic communities. Of course, we would like to see more activity happening, but the work has to come pretty slowly. And it is indeed coming a little slow. Yesterday, how many of you were not here yesterday? Oh my God, that's all my lucky. Okay, let me, did you, anybody want a copy of this? This is very well written piece of work. I worked very hard on this. And and also this is, the ELCA, as I shared with you yesterday, for those of you who were here, has a plan called Multicultural Mission Strategy. And my job, it is to coordinate this and come up with a plan, take it to the church-wide assembly, that's the big assembly ELCA put together every other year, and make sure that has been adopted there and take it to the church and make that implemented in the whole church so the church will achieve the 10% goal it has set to itself. Now, as we... when I came about to do the work, I looked at the whole ELCA structure and said, if we address six areas in the ministry which ELCA does, we could pretty much cover all the areas. Number one is communication. Number two is congregational resource development. Number three, social ministry development. Number four, leadership development. Number five, ministries development. Number six, theological development. As you could imagine, which there was a good agreement here yesterday when we met, that was, if the church really truly wanted to become multicultural, it has ought to do two things. One is, it has to do a very intentional evangelism effort to the communities it is located. Number two, the church ought to change also. It has to think differently, it has to position itself differently, then only we will see the change happening. So, the six working groups, which basically address all the ministries which are happening in the church, will be addressing those issues. For example, let me give you one example of congregational resource development. The ELCA produces tons of material, from Sunday school curriculum material to vacation school curriculum to bulletin insert, bulletin cover, to whole score of things which affect or affect our understanding of the church's ministry. But one way or other, you know, you look at the bulletin cover and the bulletin story, you look at this, that slowly but steadily we are getting a flavor of how and what our church is all about. The bulletin insert, where also there's a lot of stories shared, and all the ELCA publications. So the Congregational Resource Development Working Group is looking into the all the stuff which is available at this present time in the ELCA and making some very specific recommendation as to what are some other things we ought to change. We are not just talking about producing everything in other languages. That is also one of the issues. We have the church ought to produce more in Spanish, especially in order to do effective ministry with Hispanic people. But also we are saying that when the church produces a resource, whether it is Sunday school curriculum to vacation church school curriculum, it has to reflect the multicultural nature of the society, so that the church, we do not have to say, well, we'll have 10 pages of this book will address multicultural issues and 90% will not address that. But the whole material will be one which will be for all people. Now, is it something, a radical effort we are making a recommendation? No, that is what you see in the school textbooks and things. Now they are becoming more of a multicultural in nature. So that is one of the things which will be happening. Number two is new ministry starts or doing ministry in transitional community, that is a community with significantly African American, Asian, Hispanic and Native American in membership, or in new ministry starts, where also the church will have to do some intentional things, including training of pastors who will be going to those communities to do ministry. So these are some of the recommendations which are coming. Oh, another one. For how many of you here are not Lutheran? All right. The Lutherans believe in theology. And more than any other human beings, they like to talk about theology. They do that all the time. So, the Theological Development Working Group is really indeed working hard to come up with some recommendations on church developing some specific things. There are certain things which are already underway. Let me share with you. Number one, all the seminarians and our seminaries do not get a proper training in multicultural ministries or multicultural nature of the church. Our hope is by 1993, the Oxford Fortress Publishing House, that is the ELCA Publishing House, will publish its first academic textbook for seminarians on multiculturalism. And we already have conversation, we do have peoples who will be writing the textbook, but it takes 3 years to finish the project. The project has been underway, but it will be done. Number two, the question was, we do have to produce some books or resources for people who are trained theologically. That is, either they are presently in seminaries or pastors. So there will be another book which is will be published by 1992. Then for the ordinary folks in the church, the lay people in the church, there will be a series of resources produced, which could be used as Sunday school or for individual reading on the multicultural nature of the church.
Those are already out, aren't they? That
Living what the faith series.
Yeah.
That was, I was one of those who wrote the piece. I was the one who wrote the Asian piece. And that was cultural affirmation series. That was basically affirming our own culture in the North American context. That was a little different than what we are talking about at this time.
It's a wonderful series.
That's right.
People should know about.
Yeah, 2 years ago when I was here, that's what we talked about, the Living Words of Faith series. And it's still available. It's a bestseller in the ELCA, so buy some more before it goes out of business. And that's called Living Waters of Faith series. It is a one for African American, another one for Asian, one for Hispanic. Hispanic is available both in Spanish and English, and then one for Native American. It is a material with a student's book and also with the leader's guide. So it's a very good resource for Sunday schools. So these are some of the activities we are engaged. I'll quit. You ask me.
No, I know we want to get off.
Yeah, thank you for me. I even forgot about that stuff.
That's back in 1987, we finished it.
You might mention, Fred, too, that in that series, that they have a student guide and a leader's guide.
Right. The series comes up with a student's guide and leader's guide, except for Native American. Mm-hmm. The reason being is that Native American people said that in our culture, there is nothing called a student and a teacher. We both are learning together. And so they said, we wanted to have only one book. And that was really indeed beautiful.
I wonder.
Yeah. That was the reason. So any questions or anything before I go on giving you more numbers and confusing you more? Yeah.
This is way out, I suppose. But
good. I am all the time that way. Everybody knows that.
The Vatican has been involved in many cultures for centuries. Mm-hmm. Is there any parallels here?
Uh-huh. Yep. When I came aboard last year, one of the things I did was I contacted almost all the major denominations, including Roman Catholic Church, and wanted to find out whether they have done anything on this type of work, because I am a little lazy. And I thought, if somebody has done something, I can cling on to the stuff and work on this. Unfortunately, most of the denominations have done nothing whatsoever. Roman Catholic Church has done a lot of work on this, but all their work was done in dioceses, like New York Diocese, Metro New York Diocese has done a lot of work. They did extensive research, and I got all their materials. But they basically, what they did was, they did a lot of extensive studies on the needs and made some recommendations, but they all have to do with pastoral leadership than anything else. Of course, their understanding of evangelism and outreach is quite different than Lutheran understanding. Probably that may be one of the reasons. But Roman Catholic Church has done extensive cross-cultural studies, what they call. I went to visit a congregation in Milwaukee because when we are working on developing strategies on social ministry, I heard about this congregation. So I wanted to visit and find out what they are doing, which is unique. This congregation is engaged in a social ministry which is unique by itself. What they have done is, when Southeast Asian refugees came, that congregation took an active part in resettling a lot of Southeast Asian refugees in their community. Plus the congregation, since they're a huge building which is almost empty, they provided that building to do some silk work, because the people are very the Southeast Asian people who came to the part have a lot of skills in handiwork. They did very good with silk. And that's one thing. So they funded that project, developed this activity. Then they realized that in Colombia, the Lutheran World Federation is engaged in resettling people who are involved in raising cocoa leaves, cocaine leaves. So they did this connection with them. So what they do now is, they have a partnership with the Lutheran World Federation. So the folks in Colombia produce what's the name of the tree where they raise silk?
Mulberries.
Thank you. Oh, God, you're all very helpful. Mulberry trees. They raise a lot of mulberry trees in Colombia. They raise this silk
worm.
Thank you. Silkworm. The silkworm, and this again, the silk to Chicago. They process it in Colombia and make the silk thread and send it to Milwaukee, where the Southeast Asian people are making that as good silk stuff and sending out to everybody. Look at the stuff the congregation and Lutheran World Federation somewhere else. And no more the ministry you're talking about happening somewhere else in their little town, but it has got a global perspective. It's helping two different communities, two different perspectives. That's one example. When I was talking about that, and I found out that Central Lutheran Church in Minneapolis, anybody from there or who knows about Central Lutheran Church? Yeah, that it is a very large congregation in Minneapolis, around 6,000 members. There, the congregation started a social ministry to the Southeast Asians. The work really did not
take off. 6 years ago, they had a student from Lutheran Northwestern Theological Seminary who was doing his Doctor of Ministry program. And he wanted to do a practicum with Southeast Asian refugee people. So he asked for a space, and this congregation was really open to this idea. So he went and started a ministry with Southeast Asian people. It is a self-help program and also gives a vocational training program. The church put around $50,000 and gave a little space 6 years ago. You know what was their budget this year? $500,000. And the $500,000 does not come from the congregation. This person who came to do this doctor of ministry, the work began, it really took off. So the congregation asked him to become a staff of the congregation. And now he's a full-time staff. He gets money from Hennepin County and from the state for doing a lot of activities. And that has taken off like a wonderful ministry. That's another example of a social ministry where, okay, what happened to evangelism, right? You know what they did at Central Lutheran Church? They said, they realized that, yes, this work has started off. There are around 200 people are involved daily in that program, but they are not coming to the church. And even the people who are participating, they said, we want to have worship service. But they said, why don't you come to the church? They said, oh, no, we would like to have our own worship service on Saturday evenings. So this staff person, Father Churian, who is working with them, and he said, fine. So they began to meet on Saturday evenings in the center where they are having their training, and they went. Slowly, he began to talk to this membership in the congregation. Now, that they have family-to-family program. What they have done is, they have made friendship with one Southeast Asian family which is worshiping on Saturday, right? Then you invite them directly to the church. The reason they didn't want to come to the church is they love to worship, but they are very uncomfortable in an alien culture and looking at this thick, big, green hymn book and say, and have to go flip over page 20 to 90 in a second. And so they were scared, and they want, so this has helped immensely. What they happened, the white member of the congregation sit with this family, they basically show them what is happening, and then they take them out for dinner. So it is not only just word and sacrament ministry, but it has evolved beyond that into evangelism effective ministry. By the way, this person who is doing this ministry, he asked for Fortress will be publishing his work as a book very soon. In fact, I was one of the fortunate people in the ELCA to get to read that first draft of his book to critique that for them. So that book will be coming out very soon. And so these are some other ways social ministry work of the ELCA is also linked with the evangelism work. And so that's two good examples. Well, you got a lot of stories from me today. So you ask me more questions, you'll get more stories or more numbers. Yeah?
Can you just write down those six working groups so that you have something to
do? I am a little lazy today, ma'am. Okay. If you look at the middle of the page, on page 2, Multicultural Mission Strategy Working Groups. There you will see all the six of them are listed.
And if any of you happen to be in Region 1, you can write to me and I can give you some additional information that Fred has caused to happen by different directors of the church. Or if you're not in Region 1, just write and help Fred out too, because he gets pretty swamped. My name is Ted Hutchison. You can find out more about that later, but I can supplement the information Fred has given you too.
When I was thinking about what I wanted to share at Glimpses of a Future, I thought it would be good for me to share with you some stories of ministries happening because they are more exciting and interesting. And also that gives us a flavor of where the church is moving into, especially in some ministries. Let me share with you another story. When we began to work on developing these strategies, and even I should say prior to that, the church recognized that one of the biggest barriers for the church becoming multicultural is racism. Both racism in among us and also church as an institution. So there was a plan designed and which is called Multicultural Education and Training Events, where we will be doing anti-racism training events at synodical and church-wide level. Now, ELCA at the request of Bishop Tilstrom, all the ELCA staff who work in the churchwide office, that's the big, the Vatican in Chicago, all the staff has to go through the training program. And also all the synodical staff who are who will be going through the program in a year or two, and then there have been invitations have been sent to synods if they wanted to put together an anti-racism training event, we will provide money and people to do the program. And more than 10 synods have said they wanted to have this event happen, so that is also beginning to happen in the ELCA. So that's also a new thing which is happening, which is very much needed. Joan Pope was involved in that. In her committee, that's called the staff team on, I even forgot about that, I was involved earlier.
Racial justice.
Racial justice staff team. Yeah. I used to be part of that a long time ago. And so these are some other activities the church is involved in. Now, the healthy sign about even that event was, when we announced that this available, we received more than we could handle, a request from synods wanting to have this event happen in their synods. So that's a very healthy sign within the church as to seriously interested in dealing with racism in church and society. So that's, these are some other healthy signs we are beginning to see in the church. And also let me share with you one more story about congregational ministry and how that is beginning to change. I shared with you earlier about the story of what's happening at Zion Lutheran Church. Let me share with you another story which I have not shared here. There's a congregation in Everett, Washington. Anybody from Everett, Washington? I said, you're very pretty close to it. Yeah, almost Everett, Washington. Everett, Washington has a very large Southeast Asian population, Vietnamese population. There's a congregation called Central Lutheran Church. Yes, thank you. Central Lutheran Church. See, that's good to have a church around here to help me out once in a while. And Central Lutheran Church has been predominant. The membership is almost, used to be almost all Norwegian in membership. They recognize that the community is changing. There's a very strong, vibrant Vietnamese community. So they invited a layperson to come and do evangelism work among the Vietnamese people. And that ministry has really taken off. This has happened just in the past 5 years. And today they have a very large worshiping community which worships very regularly in their congregation. And not having much of any resources in Vietnamese for the membership in the congregation, this young man's father is also a Vietnamese pastor in Seattle. And so he has done a lot of, has translated a lot of materials in Vietnamese. So the congregation uses those resources. And that's another way, a small way, but in a good way, a new ministry has begun. And that has been a very effective ministry which is happening. Now, whenever we think about ethnic-specific ministry, especially an African-American ministry or Asian or Hispanic or Native American, immediately we all, folks think that it is very expensive to start a ministry because it takes a lot of years to do a ministry and it takes a lot of work and effort. Let me share with you again a story of a healthy story. Congregation in Carson, California, where this congregation, which started as the ministry predominantly to African American people, is one of the fastest growing congregations in the ELCA. And it not only became a very effective and vibrant congregation, lot of strong leadership came out of that congregation, which is also very important for the church. From that congregation, there are people serving from ELCA church council to different boards in the church, and also synod councils and committees. Here we are again seeing not only a ministry where the ELCA as a church is reaching out to the African-American people, but the ELCA is also receiving a great gift from the African-American community through the participation of strong leadership coming out of those congregations, which is also another sign. We have to look at that also. That is what we are receiving from church becoming more multicultural, especially from African-American, Asian, Hispanic, and Native American people coming to the church and bringing those gifts, not only of leadership, but also resources and skills. And especially we were very much mindful of that when we were working on developing this book we talked about earlier, Living Waters of Faith series. That project started in 1985, so way before the merger came. And even that time, we were very mindful that all the gifts people bring to this church, which is beautiful, and that's where we have to be looking at. That's where the church is changing, also coming from those gifts those people bring. Can I take a break, or if you want to ask me any questions?
Fred, I might throw a question out.
Sure.
I might want to discuss a bit. Oftentimes, people say, well, we develop, and we talk about ethnic-specific churches. Are we developing a church or all black or all Hispanic or all this, all that? And that question comes up, and some people get concerned, become concerned about that. You might want to address that a bit, if you haven't already. I don't know if you have.
Sometimes the question has been raised, why, when you're talking about multicultural, then why you wanted to have ethnic-specific, right? Yeah. And that is, I was in Detroit some time ago, and one other person came to me after being there having lunch, and he was very unhappy because there is a congregation which was named as an African-American Lutheran Church. And I said, why would they change this? Where is its name? And my answer to this individual was, it was beautiful to see 50 years ago there is a Norwegian Lutheran church and a Danish Lutheran church and a Swedish Lutheran church in town. So you know where to go, right? And because that is an issue that the community was dealing with that at the time. And that is important to the communities. And but now it is when we as the society is changing, we are seeing a very strong African-American community, a strong Hispanic community, a strong Asian community. And depending upon the geography we are in, that is appropriate for the church to do an ethnic-specific ministry. I would also say that is when we talking about, and say for example, an African-American ministry in an African-American community, I can use an example of same in Detroit. A congregation in Detroit, which is all African-American in its membership 2 years ago, realized that 2 miles from them is a Laotian community was sitting there because of the people who moved to their area. And now they have started a Laotian ministry out of an African-American community. And the ministry has really taken off. They have hired a staff person to do Laotian ministry. And the same, they were modeling very much with a ministry which has been done in Rockford, Illinois, where also their congregation, the white congregation, is doing a Laotian ministry. They have now a white congregation doing Laotian ministry in Rockford, Illinois, is in partnership with a black African-American congregation doing Laotian ministry in Detroit, and they are exchanging information on what we have done, what could be done, and all the stuff. And that is the beauty of the job. And it will be an evolving thing. You know, as I shared the first day of my presentation, that our church, we should not make this church a museum. You know, then we'll have a bunch of dead bodies there. You know, we have to be vibrant, moving, and we should be willing to change. And we cannot be very stagnant in our approach to things. Also, any creative ways with which we could do ministry, we have to move forward.
Yeah. Is this having any effect on the services itself, or are you talking about the social activities of the particular congregation when you're talking multicultural? Are you changing the liturgy or doing something in that sense to somehow, what would it be, a little modification of both in order to come up with something in the middle?
I can give you two examples. The congregation I belong to, Zion Lutheran Church in Chicago, it uses the infallible green book we have. some of the people in the church really believe that it's an infallible book. we change the liturgy to make it like if you came to worship at Zion, and if Ted came to worship at Zion, you both will, and I am there, three of us are sitting in the same pew, and we three will feel the same way during the worship service. The reason being is you will never feel like you are a visitor there. He will never feel like he's a visitor there. And I will never feel like I am a member there, because it has been changed here and there every week. And the pastor explains everything throughout the service. So nobody is lost. Look what is happening. That's one of the secrets for the church growing in membership, is that people who walk into the church won't feel like, I'm sitting in somebody else's pew. Do I act like I know this stuff before I could really engage in worship? Because every Sunday we have more than 15 to 20 new visitors coming who are, most of them are not Lutheran before. So the pastor explains every Sunday everything to you. And that makes the difference. That is, so if I went to a church, I can give you another example of what happened. Back in 1988, this, honest to goodness, it happened. I was in a town, city, and I went to worship in this congregation. The worship was over. This couple was very polite. They turned to me and they said, "You know our liturgy very well." That's what they said. "You know our liturgy very well." I said, "Thank you." And I didn't want to tell them a thing that I am a Lutheran pastor. I don't want them to have a heart attack and pass out. See what they thought? They saw me. I worship in the congregation. They said, "This guy cannot be Lutheran." Then they said, "The guy must be very smart to follow with us all the way." See, that is what we are, right? That's how we think. If you saw a person, an African-American or a Hispanic, walk into your church, probably that's what a lot of people will think. And that, oh my God, where did this come from, you know? So these are the things we are talking about. Slowly the church ought to change in order to feel that we are all here to the world. Yes, ma'am.
I don't even remember who told me this or what church they were from, but they said that as they were growing up, they were always instructed in their church that even if they had the liturgy memorized, to follow it page by page so that anybody who was a guest wouldn't feel like they were different by following the book. And I thought that was really, you know, sometimes we get kind of proud that we know the liturgy and sing it. And it was really neat to think that that was the approach they took to make their guests feel welcome.
Great. I can. There's another question which has been raised when we think about glimpse of our future. That is the whole question of language. You know, especially the people, some people will complain about the church talking about we have to produce resources in Spanish, for example. And say, why not we, America? We speak English. Everybody has to speak English. If you want to watch soap opera, you got to know the English, right? Then why do they have stuff in Spanish? I wrote a piece back in 1989 about producing resources in languages other than English. And when that was published, a lot of people I got a lot of angry letters. One was a congregation, Salem Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. That congregation at the church council meeting, somebody said, "Did you read this article?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "This is terrible." So one of the council members, who used to be my former parishioner, now she has moved to Rockford, she said, "I know the guy who wrote this piece. How about if I invite him to our church one day and we can talk to him, right?" I said, "Fine." So Norma calls me and said, "Pastor, will you come to our church on a Saturday? We'll put together a potluck." See, I love food. So, and she said, "We'll put together a potluck if you will come." I said, "Fine." So I went to Rockford, which is like 70 miles from Chicago, so it's not a big deal. So I went, and it's a Saturday, around 200 people showed up. And one thing I know when I walked in, I have one good strength there, because I looked at the people, everybody was over 60. And I said to myself, I will find a supporter in this crowd for me. So, when I began to speak, since half of what I speak, you won't understand. So, I wanted to, that's true, right? And I said, anybody in this room who spoke Swedish, not, Rockford is Swedish town, 50% raised their hands. And so we had the conversation, then I shared with them why I wrote this piece and what was my feeling. I said, the people began to ask me questions and said, don't you understand that this is America and we speak English? And I said, yes, I do, and I speak English, and I tried to do the best I could. And then right in the middle of the conversation, this Holy Spirit came on this guy, I think, and he stood up. He said, this is like 70-year-old man. He said, oh, I need to tell you something. He said, 50 years ago when I came to Rockford, he said, I remember why I got out of the train. I was walking in the street. I saw the sign, Salem Lutheran sign, Lutheran Church in Swedish. And I knew immediately that's going to my church. Right? So he comes to worship in the church, and then he turned to the crowd in the room. He said, do you all remember that? And most of the people are both timeless. They said, yeah. They said, yeah, we remember that. He said, remember what we had that time? We had worship service in Swedish in the sanctuary, and there are few people who wanted to have the service in English. So they met in the basement on Sunday. Right? Yeah, there are 10, 12 people met in the basement. The rest of the crowd met in the sanctuary. Then he said, slowly what happened to us, slowly people, the basement became big and the sanctuary became small because people didn't want to go to Swedish service, everybody went to the basement. So they moved the Swedish service to the basement and moved the English service to the sanctuary, and that's how slowly it became a English-speaking, worshipping congregation. Now they do Swedish service once a month. And some folks go to their worship service. That is very meaningful because worship itself is very intimate and close to our heart, And the reason the gentleman began to say this, see, I might jump here. I should have said this a long time ago, so let me tell you this. I shared with them, I said, I live in this country for 14 years, but still when I read Bible, I read that in Tamil. That's the language I speak, right? And I pray in Tamil because that's where I grew up. And I bet if any of you here who grew up in English, a language other than English, will do the same thing. That's what we are doing. We pray and we read, at least we talk to God in the language we grew up. Because we grew up thinking that's our intimate to us, right? That's our closest to us. And that's what was happening even in the congregation. People who grew up in the Swedish language naturally bend to Swedish language. Slowly that has changed. Second generation, third generation came, and they were speaking only in English. The children didn't speak Swedish, so it switched, it turned around. And that is what I believe the church ought to be providing. It is not saying to the Hispanic community or to Chinese community, saying that don't learn English. We are going to provide you everything in Chinese or Spanish. All we are saying is that the church ought to provide people the way they talk to God. If I am speaking to God every day in Spanish, then when I come to church, when I'm going to have opportunity only in English, I think that is unfair to me. And I think that is where the church ought to provide those services. Of course, then I cannot demand the church to give one in Tamil either, because we ain't got very many. But when it is, the church ought to provide.
I know this isn't probably in our future, but in somebody's future, we'll find, with the shrinking world and the European community and so forth, maybe this language difference is going to be also shrunk. We've lost a number of languages over the last 20, 30 years, I suppose, and it'll keep on. This one man from Hawaii was talking last night about how few people actually know the Hawaiian language anymore. It could be the same with a number of European languages. Thousands of dialects of China, I suppose.
Yeah.
This is just recently a Russian three-master pulled into the harbors at Seattle. A group of young Russian sailors learning to navigate this ship, a three-master sailing boat. And my wife and I went down to see it and speak to them. And so I was trying to think, how could I communicate with these Russian lads, you know? So I sprach sie Deutsch, you know, I knew a little bit of that. Or maybe a little French, you know? No. And I, one other language I asked about, no. Then they asked me, did I speak? And I heard this term years ago, and I just dropped it. Did I speak something called either Spanada or something like that? It's a type of new international language. It's very old. And I said, no, but it was interesting to hear, similar to what you're saying, to hear about this new kind of international language beginning, as it begun years ago.
Esperanto.
Not Spanish, not Spanish.
Esperanto.
That's what I'm trying to say. Who said that?
Esperanto.
They asked me, did I speak Esperanto? And I've heard about that 30 years ago, but I didn't pay any attention to it.
How much more time we have today? What time we quit? Already time is over. They ran out of time.
5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. I would like to do something. Ted, will you be available to say a few things? Will you be available to say a few things right after I finish this? Because this is my last presentation. I'm leaving to going back to Vatican tomorrow. I'm anxiously waiting for the going to the Holy City. But it was fun. It was fun, and I think we had a good, meaningful discussion. And you got some very current information, which one day you will see that in the Lutheran magazine. But when you see that, you can say, I already have that information, right? So that's fun. And I also wanted to share with you that the goals the church has set and the direction we are moving, they are very worthy goals. And also, this is where the future of the church is going to be, whether we like it or not. Earlier at the month, by first presentation on Monday, I shared with you that the pressure for the church is coming to become multicultural, not only from within, but also from outside, especially from the two insurance companies we have, AAL and Lutheran Brotherhood, because they are losing customers. So they want the church to get involved with members. So we welcome that. We welcome that. And, you know, God uses all kinds of people. So there is no excuse and have using AAL and Lutheran Brotherhood. So thanks be to God for that. And before I end, I want to share with you this, because Ted will be giving presentations, right? Presentations here?
No.
Oh, you came for vacation or something? Or you came to see me? Ted, got to see him. Since I'm leaving, he's going to be here. Well, talk to Ted if you want to talk, because Ted has a unique ministry. In the ELCA, he is the only staff person who is a director for multicultural ministries for a region, Region 1. No other ELC region has a full-time staff person like Ted is. And so Ted is more directly involved in congregations and synods than I do, because, you know, I'm far removed, living in Vatican, you know, you don't forget that. And so I'm very happy that Ted is here, and he will be a very valuable resource for you all. And so keep that in mind. And Ted can tell you stories and have a good conversation going and pump you all up. All right. So it's good to see him. And
good to see you.
Yeah. So that's end of my little show for the day. And I want to finish it today on time.